Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I am your host for today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm going to be sitting in for our regular host, Juanita Watson. And today I'm really, really delighted to be speaking to Kelly Bells on the phone. She is the author of Beyond the Stars, Tataria, published by BookSurge. Now, Kelly has her master's degree in science with a concentration in nurse anesthesia from the La Roche College, where she actually has taught in the anesthesia program. She graduated from Indiana University in Pennsylvania with a bachelor's degree in science with a major in nursing. She is also an engineer and, listen to this, holds a U.S. patent for a knitting accessory called knit clips. I'm going to be asking her a little about that because I have no idea what this is. So Kelly actually currently works as a business owner and a part-time nurse in anesthesiologist, where she is pursuing her newest passion, writing her next book, and we're going to talk about that too. She resides in the suburb of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with her husband and their two daughters. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Irene. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. I know this is kind of a cold day up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as it is here in Texas. But
absolutely.
We're going to warm it up with this interview, that is for sure. So let's just immediately get into talking about your book, Beyond the Stars, Tataria, and tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. It's a story about a physicist named Samantha, and she's working for a company that is building an outer space resort that's going to be like a plush hotel and research facility, and she loves her job, but she's actually somewhat of a chicken when it comes to going into space. She never wants to leave the Earth. But after a series of events in the book, she makes the decision to travel into space, and she wants to take a job working on the completion of the resort. When she's there, she meets an alien, beings from another planet called the Katarians, and she accidentally gets stuck on their spacecraft and has to travel across the galaxy to their home planet. So it's a little space adventure that I think people will enjoy.
So is this more in the science fiction genre?
It is science fiction, but I geared it towards more of a fiction lover.
Uh-huh.
It's not hardcore science fiction. I write the story so that it can relate to the human side of how you would react to the stress of living in space, what kind of thoughts you would have, and the physical struggles that would occur if you were having to live on a starship. So it really should relate to a more general audience than just the sci-fi fan.
Well, definitely starships are not probably that far into the future either, are they?
I don't think so.
No.
We're making some real progress finally on getting some speed on our space exploration, and we have a lot of companies working right now developing new launch vehicles to get to space and back quicker and more affordable. So I think we're going to see a lot in the next 20 years.
I think so, too. And obviously, this is an interest with you, too. So I want to talk a little bit about these outer space places. Now, in this book, you're talking about a resort. And, of course, I kind of smiled when you said that, because why else would, we, as you and me, go out into outer space, but maybe on vacation?
Just vacation. I think it's actually going to help us if we do start to make a bigger presence in space, because there are things that we can make there that we can't make on Earth. They can make drugs, new metals that are actually stronger than anything we can make here on the planet in zero gravity, because you can rearrange molecules so that they can make whole new compounds that you can't even create on our planet. So that's one major reason to go to space, other than fun.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so I was kind of going into for you and me, who, well, specifically me, because I'm not a scientist, but, would be interested in going on vacation to just see what it's like. But let's go a little bit into working in zero gravity, and you had mentioned that drugs or metals can be actually compounded up there. And obviously you've done a lot of research. Could you kind of fill in with your knowledge what could be done?
Well, I don't have an insider track, but I have knowledge on what I've read, and it is really exciting. There are a lot of experiments going on in space that the people on our space station are doing, and I think that, you know, the future of pharmaceuticals really could take off if they had easy access to zero gravity and could make labs in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we definitely need to do that, because there's a lot of diseases that people are living with that could be cured if we, you know, develop new ways to treat them.
Well, I'm sure that that is being done right now, as you said. So, and how much research did you actually have to do to create this book?
I did a lot of research, and I actually did not put it all in the book.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't want to overwhelm my readers. I just wanted to put in enough just to spark their curiosity and make them wonder, well, what if this is possible? And hopefully I can grow public interest in the space program, and, you know, maybe that will help spur things along with these companies if they get a lot of people behind them wanting to make this happen. But I didn't put everything in.
Okay. Yeah. That's maybe another, the next book. So you had mentioned public interest. Are you an advocate right now? Are you involved in creating more public interest besides your book?
Yeah, I really hope that people, I just want to make people more aware of what's going on in the space industry. One thing that was really exciting, I asked a real company, the Space Island Group, if I could use their name in the book, and they said yes, so
uh-huh.
I was thrilled.
Good.
And they are actually working on building big, huge solar satellites that are going to beam energy back to Earth, so it would provide clean energy for our planet. And in the future, they want to build space resorts and possible research facilities. So they're a real company, and I'm hoping that it will help people go and start to research this on their own and maybe say, hey, this is something we're going to see in the next 20 years.
So what you're saying also in your book, that you actually do have, you tapped into a lot of reality. What is going on right now is not necessarily all, as what we term science fiction, and someplace off into the future of a possibility. You actually are using, you used a real company that is working right now.
I did. I wanted to make the book as realistic as possible. So I did start the book on Earth and with the real company, and then it kind of drifts off to the science fiction, sort of the later two-thirds of the book where she goes into with the aliens, which,
uh-huh.
You know, a lot of people do believe is possible for us to meet someday, you know, beings from another
uh-huh.
part of the galaxy. We're searching for life in other places, so maybe we'll find it someday.
Well, let's talk about aliens. I think that would be kind of a neat direction to talk to you. And so what is your belief? Are there aliens? As what we, you know,
yeah.
no other term that we can use but alien.
I think there has to be life somewhere else in the galaxy. It's pretty egocentric just to believe we're the only intelligent life force, you know, form whenever the galaxy and even the universe is so gigantic. I think there's definitely a possibility that there's life out there other than us.
Have you ever had any experience with aliens?
I haven't, but I like to follow stories, you know, UFO hunters.
Uh-huh.
I think it's fun to watch people that have, you know, maybe some of it's true, maybe some of it's made up, but it's still fun to think about it.
Yeah, you know, this goes back to, I bring to mind Roswell in New Mexico, and that was, I believe, back in, 50s or 60s. And that was all, you know, it came up, and then all of a sudden it was just really hushed down. Do you believe that we actually do have same experiences now, and the higher forces, the government or whomever, sort of suppresses that so that we as general public don't know that it really is happening?
That's a possibility. I think, you know, maybe the reason to hush it up is because we don't have enough evidence
mm-hmm.
to prove it. These, you know, sightings come and go so quickly, so the proof would be really hard, you know, to actually say this for sure happened. But, you know, people are seeing, you know, orbs and, you know, different lights in the sky, so it, you know, it does make you wonder if someone's not already visiting our planet, because some of the stories really seem believable.
They sure do, don't they?
Yeah.
And what's interesting, I find, is, you know, when people are put into some type of regression, maybe hypnosis or whatever, that a lot of the experiences are maybe bizarre, but also a lot of them are very similar.
Right.
And, you know, although maybe these are readers, but, and, you know, pick up subconsciously information from others, but, we don't know, and I hope that sometimes in our lifetime, you know, that we do connect and prove. So when you did the research and talked to Space Island Group, how much information did they actually give you?
They answered questions, but they also, their website is full of their mission statements and what they're hoping to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of information from there. But they sent me photos that I could use, and they were very helpful in that manner. So, and, you know, I told them it's fiction, and, you know, you can tell, you know, in the parts of the book, you know, people know that they're not working with aliens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They know that that's fictionalized, but I did try to portray them in a positive light of what they're trying to achieve, because they are a good company that's actually, I'm hoping, it's going to make a difference for us all.
Now, you used them in particular, but did you do research on other companies as well?
I did. A lot of people, there are some that are focusing on living quarters in outer space, like Bigelow Space, but there are also people that are, a lot of different companies that are making new launch vehicles. One of the problems right now with going into space is the cost is just too high. And so we really need to come up with a way to make it more affordable. The space shuttle is going to be done, it's scheduled to be done running its missions the end of this year, like in the fall. So we really need to find other ways to get into space easier and more affordable.
Since you have this passion and interest, have you ever thought of, you know, was this sort of an inkling when you were growing up to be an astronaut or?
Yes, yes.
Okay, it doesn't surprise me.
I say that very quietly.
Because?
So, well, my mother would kill me if I went into space. Right now, she wants me to wait until after she's gone. She said it would be too stressful for her. I remember in high school, I thought of being an astronaut as a career choice, and then the Challenger blew up. You know, it was aired all over the television over and over again with the clip, and it was just such a tragedy for everyone because, you know, we wanted it to succeed and, you know, admire these people. And so after that, my family was like, no way. Yeah, they were like, forget it.
So secretly, you're still pursuing it in a different way.
I am, right.
I guess, you know, by writing and fictionalizing it, but what are your aspirations? What are you going to do with all this knowledge? And as we progress and companies come up with more and more information and possibilities, do you have aspirations?
Well, I do. I want to write another book, but I would like to visit a space station in the future if it, if it is built and it's open to the public. I have two daughters, and they actually are willing to go with me.
Wow.
My husband, on the other hand, no way.
Okay. He's going to stay home, look after the animals.
I guess, yeah, but my girls are definitely, let's go, you know, so they're right there with me.
That's great. How old are your children?
I have two daughters, one's 11 and one's 8.
Ah, okay. So they have a lot of understanding what's going on then and are excited, and, of course, they probably pick up on your passion, too.
They do.
Yeah. So originally you went into a medical field. Was that sort of as a way of kind of getting connected in the same, you know, the same interest? Or
I love science, and I always push myself to learn new things, and I love to read. So it just seemed like a good choice, and it has been, because you have to keep updated and always learning the next newest thing to stay, you know, current in the job. So it's been a good job for me working in anesthesia.
So You're doing that part-time, though, right now.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And besides writing and working part-time as a nurse, what else are you doing?
I run my business. I invented a knitting club.
Talk about that.
Yes. I've knitted since I've been about 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
I always had problems seaming pieces of knitting garments together, so I thought there's got to be an easier way. And finally, I invented a little clip to help with the seaming process, and I'm selling it to stores and people online. And the business is getting to the point where it's a little bit bigger than I can handle. I might even try to sell it off in the future because I enjoy writing, and I think I want to have more time for that. But it has done well.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live, and today we are speaking with author Kelly Bells about her recently published book, Beyond the Stars, Kataria. You can find out more about Kelly on her website, beyondthestarsnovel.com. My motto always is find a need and fill it. And that's certainly one thing that you did with Knit Clips, because you yourself realized that there's a need because you needed it.
Right.
And I
learned a lot from doing that.
I bet.
Yeah.
So let's just talk a little bit about your writing. And you had mentioned that you will be doing another book. Are you in the process of writing right now?
I am. I'm working on the second in the series.
Okay. Oh, so there's a sequel?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And can you just kind of give us a little bit of hint what's going to happen, or without giving it all away?
Sure. I leave a little bit of a cliffhanger, not too painful, in the one book, at the end of the first book. And I have a character that actually was abducted by some of the bad aliens in the story.
Okay.
And so they're going to have to go and rescue her, and it's going to delay my character's, you know, main desire to return to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to cause some drama in that department, and so that's what I'm working on. I think people will like it. Although it's in space and there are going to be more aliens in this second novel, I'm going to keep it as human as possible. It's not going to be so far out there that you're not going to be able to relate to it. I want to make sure that the characters are, you know, touching on a personal level and people can relate to them. And I don't over-glamorize the aliens. They're just kind of like, that's how they are when you meet them. And, you know, you would be meeting them in real life.
Well, it's really important what you just said something, and I just wanted to kind of go into that direction, is that you made it real life, and we're in an era right now where we're really relational. You know, the TV shows, the commercials, they're very, very relational, and it seems like the watchers of TV, but also not only that, but the readers of books really want to be able to relate to the characters and put themselves into that story. And so I'm glad to hear that you are picking up on that and writing it more of a real life instead of someplace that's, you know, fictionalized, and there's enough of that. And so I also I'm intrigued that you brought in some romance, which is really important.
The romance?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Very important, because that's a relational, you know, it's relational, and that's what people want.
Yeah, I think men and women, they'll always be intrigued with human intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we all crave, and I wanted to make sure that that was in there. And I tried to balance the science and the romance so that it's not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it could be a standalone romance book, but it's definitely a big part of the story. But I'm hearing from male readers as well as women that they feel, you know, it's not too much.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted.
Well, great. How did you choose the name Katarians? I always intrigued to see where people come, you know, where do you get these names?
that came to me, you know, when you're laying in bed at night and these characters were coming alive in my head when I'm thinking and I couldn't fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, they just sort of named themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Even their names just come to me like they're real people. Whenever I'm writing them, I want to make sure their dialogue matches their personality, because you really only have you have a quick amount of time that you have to get that person's the feeling of that person across on the page, because people make up their mind really quick on who that character is. So I spent a lot of time trying to perfect that dialogue and, you know, make it, you know, really powerful.
Powerful and relational. You know, in the character development, as you say, is extremely important. And so the Katarians, they're the aliens.
Right.
And tell us where the Kataria, I'm assuming Kataria is a planet somewhere.
Yeah.
And so where in your imagination did you place this planet?
I placed it on the opposite side of our Milky Way galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Just another inhabitable planet that we haven't been able to reach because our technology isn't there. But they were able to get to us because
mm-hmm.
they're more advanced. The aliens actually are like us, but they have, you know, already gone through a lot of the things we have yet to live with the technology and the advances in their society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm very curious also talking to people that write science fiction or fantasy. What really goes on in your mind when you are developing the story, the line, the characters? I mean, this is, you know, so visionary, so futuristic. And I'm always curious and want to know from you, like, how does this development happen in your mind?
Well, actually, when I started writing, like, I would just take notes on pads of paper, and
mm-hmm.
But as I was writing, the story would just come to me, and it felt like I was with the characters and just seeing their lives unfold before my eyes, and so I would just write it down, and I just went with, I learned to just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, the story I wrote, you know, I allowed it to change as it took its own life, basically, and I think that's a good way to go, where it just comes from you,
mm-hmm.
and some deeper place.
Well, you know, some people also think that maybe this information comes from a prior lifetime, and it's stored in the brain somewhere, and what you're doing is just tapping in. How do you feel about that?
I think anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have all the answers. You know, we don't know the way things work. So, yeah, there's, you know, there's probably some deep part of me that or some experience that I had along the way that influenced my writing, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about along the way, would that be in this lifetime?
Yes, I think in this lifetime.
Okay.
I actually do believe in reincarnation.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think when it comes from the soul, it's possible that it can come from, you know, any influence you've ever been exposed to.
Exactly. And I know that many writers actually base the characters on some people that they know or some of their own experiences. And so did you do the same? Did you actually, you know, some of the characters, did you sort of base them on present-day people?
I did. I meet a lot of people at work, and, you know, it's fun to watch, like, one person react to a situation completely different than how someone
mm-hmm.
else would.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I think I did. I tried to incorporate some of those quirks into some of my characters. And I love it. I love when people surprise me.
Uh-huh.
And they do something that you just like, oh, that is that's just how they feel, and that's okay. That's good, you know.
Uh-huh.
That makes them who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So I enjoy that.
Now, you mentioned that you believe in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And are you willing to talk about it?
Sure.
Okay.
I am a Christian, and, you know, I'm Lutheran, and I don't know. I read a lot of spiritual books, too.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think, I don't know, sometimes religion is a little too black and white with the guidelines of your set religion. And there are different places that I do believe that, you know, I think maybe could be possible.
Sure.
Versus
sure.
just what the church that I go to says.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I think that I don't know if, you know, a person's born, you know, as a brand new soul.
Yeah.
First comes and, you know, this is it, you know, like.
There's got to be more.
How long you've lived and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it has to. Your soul has to come from somewhere. I do believe in a soul. I believe it comes from somewhere, wherever it was alive.
Yeah.
You know, so that's.
I believe that too. And this is why I asked you the question if, you know, some of the information that you were able to, for another word, you channel, you know, because you had mentioned that these stories just come to you. And so in some beliefs it would be called channeling, and whether, you know, you really feel that this may have happened or some of these experiences that maybe, you know, they're not maybe in the future, maybe they are in the past, and it's possible that maybe you were one of these people.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, or it could even just be, you know, if you believe in angels, if
mm-hmm.
you believe
mm-hmm.
in influence of, like, higher sources that help you with your writing.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
I do feel like, you know, I have help when
yeah.
I write things.
Yeah.
Because I think, wow, that just flowed so easily. And you
mm-hmm.
feel like you're in the flow and in the movement, you know, and it just comes so smoothly. And, you know, I don't think that I could do that all alone.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. It's like, wow. That's impressive. Where did that come from?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And you write it and you read it back and you go, wow.
Did I do this?
Right.
It almost seems like it's new information to you after you read it,
uh-huh.
but yet you wrote it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I so understand. Well, gosh, this has been a really interesting conversation, Kelly. And
it was.
I would just like you to kind of summarize your book in sort of briefly to sort of let our readers kind of get back into your book. It's called Beyond the Stars,
right.
Kataria.
Mm-hmm.
And so just kind of summarize it so that people can understand. Actually, we've went all over the place here with this conversation.
Right. Well, it's about a journey of a woman, and you'll get to see her in multiple relationships as a mother and a wife and a friend and a coworker, and just her journey through life, where she's working on a job and she has to step outside of her own comfort zone in order to survive, you know, the adventure that's before her. And I think I hope the book inspires people to, you know, not be afraid to step outside of their own comfort zone
mm-hmm.
from reading a book, and it inspires them and maybe makes them a little more interested in space as well. And but it's a mixture of science and romance and adventure. It's a very easy read. I did not try to impress people with terminology or
uh-huh.
People that you know, aren't used to reading a lot of technical books would fly through this. I'm told that people are reading it in like 2 or 3 days, so I'm very happy at that. And they're even passing it on to their teenagers.
Oh, good. Good to hear that.
Yeah. I kept the romance scenes clean.
It's clean. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Clean, but enough that you can use your imagination and get the point across. The
mm-hmm.
loving feeling is there. So.
Our reviewer, Paige Lovett, loved the book. And one thing that she had mentioned is that the character was able to move to a higher self, or high level of herself, which I think, you know, that really gets to be on the deeper side of the character.
It does. I wanted to show that she grew as a person,
mm-hmm.
became stronger
mm-hmm.
and braver,
mm-hmm.
story went. But I still kept, you know, her personality, you know, where she could have, like, hermit tendencies now and then. But I did show her evolve through the book. I don't think a person, I don't think the character should stay the same at the beginning as they do at the end.
How boring.
You know, yeah. I mean, something has to happen to make you change.
Well, exactly. And that's what it sounds like this book is. And our reviewer also had mentioned that this would be a great selection for a reader's group, because I would imagine that is because of the progression, and then the readers in a reader's group can actually talk of their own transitions.
Yeah, I think it would be fun to talk about in a book club.
Oh, for sure, yeah. For sure. Well, let's hope that somebody that's listening to this would actually, you know, is in a group and would consider this. So, so gosh, again, it's been a really, really great pleasure talking to you, Kelly. And listeners, you can find out more about Kelly Belt and her book, Beyond the Stars, Qataria, on her website, which is BeyondTheStarsNovel.com. And again, thanks, Kelly, for spending this time with us and talking about your book and your beliefs and thoughts and future and, gosh, your invention of knit clips. And maybe we can just throw in, where can people find knit clips?
Online or some knitting stores across the country.
Okay, and let's go online. What is the website?
It's Knit Clips, Clips with a K, .com.
Knit Clips, KNITKLIPS.com. How easy is that?
Right.
Again, thanks a lot, Kelly.
Sure, thank you.
And this is Irene Watson, your host, and thank you for listening. Bye for now.